Well, Stephen, every Friday we try to get an update from Topeka, see what's going on in the Kansas legislature, and joining us on the phone today is State Senator Tom Hawk. Good morning.
Hi, Brandon. Good to be here.
Yeah, it certainly is a pleasure. It's been a wild couple weeks. I know that you guys have been staying pretty busy out there, haven't you?
And late.
Yeah, that's no fun in those late hours, I'm sure. Well,
I'm starting to feel like I'm in the radio business on the flip end of it. You guys have to come to work really early. I have to stay at work really late.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And what's the latest you've had to turn around? Like, you go to bed, and then what time you wake up?
Oh, gosh. I try to get up about 5:30 or 6 so I can get to Topeka. And we've been running till about 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, which isn't as bad. We'll have several days before we wrap this up in May or early June, where we were there till 3 or 4 in the morning. So I'm kind of still counting my blessing.
Yeah, that's not a lot of fun, but important issues obviously being decided out there. And I wanted to start first here with this one that we talked about in the email here earlier this week, and that was Senate Bill 267. I know Governor Kelly came out in strong opposition because of how much it would potentially cut in state obligations to public education in the two-year budget, and I guess around $568 million. A lot of us would probably understand some cuts to different parts of the budget here, but that seems pretty steep.
It is, and I want to defend my Republican colleagues a little bit and probably also criticize them a little bit. I am on the budget committee, we call it Ways and Means in the Senate, and last Thursday, one of my colleagues made that amendment to cut essentially the funding for at-risk and the local option budget and part of the base aid to schools. And I challenged that in committee because we're under court order in the Gannon case to do that. Plus, I think all of us agree, and she agreed, what she was hoping to do by cutting that was to be able to use the new federal funds, new recovery funds called ARP, the latest bill that was just passed by Congress and signed by the president. So the hope was that we could use that money. We've at least heard preliminarily that you can't do that. It may still be possible to do some things in the budget that we could use some of those new federal funds to fill in some budget holes. But the requirements with most federal funds, this has been the way since I worked in the school district, is you can't supplant local effort with federal funds, nor can you change what is your local maintenance of effort. And so I think the intentions are not as bad as they seem in terms of how they're reported, but the outcome could be disastrous for our schools, could wind up back in court. So I did an amendment on the floor that almost passed. I think we were only 2 votes short of passing it to put that money back in. And my argument was, let's just wait until we get to our final budget bill in May called this is the mega budget. The final one's called omnibus. I love these terms that have evolved. But I think if we look at omnibus, we'll have a better idea whether we can use those federal funds. And if we can, it may be a good idea. If we can't, we need to fill that $568 million back in the budget. And I'm gonna be working hard to make sure we do that.
All right. Well, that'll be one to watch for sure, because I know a lot of educators around here will be keeping their eyes on that. What else has been going on here this past week in terms of bills that have passed?
Well, I want to go back to the budget. There were several good things in the budget, and I might share a little conversation I had with the governor this week, which it seems like I'm always in trouble with the teacher. I don't know. It kind of goes back to my grade school days. But one really positive thing in the budget is we were able to restore some of the money that had been cut for higher ed, and of course that affects K-State, and we put $25 million back in to cover what is roughly a $35 to $37 million cut. You may recall the governor had to make allotments because revenue was down in COVID at the end of the budget year, and then she asked for a reduced budget from every agency, and then she restored, essentially asked everybody to do a 10% cut, and then she restored it in terms of K-State and higher ed 4.5%. So we added 3% in there, and I think that helps. The pandemic has been very hard on higher ed and specifically K-State, with a reduction probably in resources, all not just state money, but all around somewhere in the $95 million, which is huge. And we've had people who've been furloughed at K-State, and I've been trying to help people on unemployment issues, and just got another email on that last night from a person I know who unfortunately is furloughed and having trouble getting their unemployment. So, you know, there's that. But as the governor reminded me, she had my position on Ways and Means before she was elected governor. And we have to make tough decisions. And she certainly is a tough budgeter. She probably knows the budget better than anybody, any governor we've ever had, because she worked closely for over a decade in Ways and Means on the budget. And she's pledged a sustainable budget. And that just means that we really have to tighten our belts. We're not through the pandemic yet. And so she reminded me my job was not just to add to the budget, but it was also to make tough decisions to make the budget as tight as possible, which she's done. So a couple things are wrong with the budget. Obviously, the school, cutting the schools, is not the legal or right thing to do. But we also added $56 million of expenditures beyond what she had submitted to us as a budget. So the budget's really the biggest, it's a fundamental thing we have to do. So there's that. So now, backing up to answer your real question, several things we've done, I think, have and it sounds like we're spending money, but we're sort of using our savings account to get through the pandemic. We had the cold snap here in February, and some of our utilities had no choice. Their price of gas went up, and the price of electricity, and they had enormous bills coming in that would have bankrupted a lot of small cities. And so we quickly passed, and the governor signed, and I think she took the lead on that, Senate Bill 88, which was to put more money into using our savings account called the Pooled Money Investment Board. That's kind of a cash flow account, but used it to put $100 million to help bail out our city short term, which they'll have to pay back, but at least over time. And I think that helps our consumers also. And so that's been a critical thing. Another one I might mention that we've just passed is the governor's emergency management powers, the KEMA bill, Kansas Emergency Management Act. That's been kind of a dicey thing between the governor and the legislature. And I want the governor to have more flexibility. The conservative Republicans want the legislature to make all the decisions. And that's generally okay if they're not emergency decisions. But we managed to reach a compromise. The House was a little more reasonable than the Senate. And fortunately, the governor and her staff were at the table to negotiate. So we have an agreeable outcome. So any of the big decisions, the orders the governor would make, would be overseen by the Legislative Coordinating Council, largely made up of the Republican leadership in the legislature. So I'm glad we got that done. And I'll take a breath and let you ask me questions. And there are a few other things I might cover if we have time.
All right. All right, sounds good. Well, I'm curious, you know, a lot of us are starting to see maybe the light at the end of the tunnel here with the pandemic. What have you heard about revenues? Do you think they're going to start to come back here in the near future?
They have been up every month, which is encouraging to me. I'm a pretty financially conservative guy. It's taxpayers' money, and I still am getting so many emails of people needing help trying to get their unemployment benefits. I'm not quite as optimistic as some are. If we have this many people still unemployed, and it says the unemployment rate's down to 3.5%, I think we're up 12-15% in the middle of the pandemic. So I'm still nervous about that, because our businesses have to come back. We have a lot of money. We've put in $6 or $7 billion, have gone out to local businesses in the state in the early part of the pandemic. We have really another $1.5 billion coming in from this new federal CARES money that is going to go, I think, directly to businesses and colleges, school districts, and local cities, municipalities. And then the state will have about $1.1 billion of new money. We're not quite sure what the categories are. So I'm hoping we can get that money out and into people's hands, and that it will keep the economy going. We need to keep our roads and bridges projects. I'm encouraged as I look around Manhattan at the construction projects we have going. And Bath is going to be completed here in the next year or so. So if we can kind of keep the revenue up and then get people back employed, I'm afraid some of the jobs that have disappeared won't come back. And that means people are going to need training and more flexibility. I want to make sure we keep our state spending as low as possible, and yet at the same time invest in our local businesses and keep our local units of government healthy. And so it's just a really tricky time, unprecedented time for that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm getting a little short on time here, but I'll leave you a couple minutes here to talk about anything else you want to get out to the public.
Well, I mentioned the unemployment. We had a meeting with the governor and the staff at the Kansas Department of Labor, and I am as frustrated, and my heart goes out to the people that are unemployed. We have an old system, and I'm going to throw a bomb, but the Brownback administration dropped the ball. We had a modernization program that was funded with federal dollars and some state dollars, that back when Governor Brownback first became governor, he stopped that modernization to upgrade. Our computer is 40 years old. It uses an old programming software, mainframe software called COBOL. There's one guy they had to bring out of retirement. Every time the federal government changes their plans, particularly the PUA, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, that was added to our state program, you have to reprogram the computer, and that has just caused so many glitches. The governor in the last 2 weeks has added 500 people to the call center. I'm told things are getting better. We still have people having to spend many times, and I found out an amazing statistic. There are 22 numbers that actually called in, and I'm trying to look at how many calls. Several thousand calls that they just sort of brought the system down because they did auto dialers trying to get through. And I want to encourage people to try and go online. I know that hasn't worked as well. And then hopefully with those new people in the call center, they've tripled the staff there at Department of Labor, trying to make this antiquated system work. And I'm optimistic that people will be able to get in there. Every case gets to be unique, and then we had fraud. We had 6.2 million hits that were fraudulent hits, and we paid out of almost $300 million in fraud claims. So the whole system has been slammed. I'm so angry with criminals and the people who abuse the system. So that keeps the people who really need to have it, and our office is going to try and keep helping our local people who are having trouble, and we're chipping away at it. But we need to make sure the people who qualify legitimately for unemployment benefits get them, and that helps our economy recover also. So that's my biggest concern right now. And the final thing I'll mention is I'm on the Joint Building Committee. We need to decide what to do with docking and our KDHE lab that does newborn screening and all of the support for clean water, et cetera, checks out the radioactivity at Wolf Creek to make sure we're in compliance there. A whole host of things is in a dilapidated old building. So we're trying to combine renovating, docking, and hopefully maybe we'll have some federal funds coming down from the feds with this CARES Act that could help us get started and get that lab, a new lab built over time. So we still need to look forward to the future. So those are the big things I'm working on right now. Most of them are budget related.
All right. Well, Senator Hawk, we always appreciate the updates, and we'll talk again real soon.
Well, thank you guys, you and Dave. Glad Dave gets a little time off. I hope he's listening in and not sleeping.
I can't promise that.
Well, you take care.
All right.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Sounds good. Senator Tom Hawk joining us here on News Radio KMAN.